Mark and Carrie and I have known each other for a long, long time. A bulk of both of our lives in Christ, we've known each other a long time. And I appreciate the places that God has taken them. And it's been a good run. And now at the beginning of a fresh ministry, what in the world is going to do is, you know, whew. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited about that.
And we appreciate the direction God brought you.
Well, as do I. As do I. I'm going to launch a new series this morning. A series on church, discipling a church as to what a church is. What are we to be? What's it to look like? What are we to do? Say the name church, and in fact, ask people here right this, what is church? And you're going to get a variety of answers right here. You ask the people on the street, what is church? You're going to get a variety of answers. What about a worthy church? What about a church that is you can recommend? I know of an individual who, if they don't start on time and stop on time, it ain't church. Where'd that come from? If it's not liturgical with all the reminders, it's not church. If it's too formal, yeah, it's not church. These ideas. Angie, thank you. It'll record better this way. This morning, it's not going to be a long walk through this introduction, but I'm glad you're here. One of the problems with church is that people have other things that come up. And so as I build, some of you are going to miss parts and pieces. And I'm sorry about that. We have come to be a church that functions in a certain way. A lot of that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next coming weeks. It does not mean that we do it right and they don't. That isn't at all in my interest. This is why we do what we do. As we are together, it is church. When we drive off of the property and the building is left behind, this isn't church. During COVID, the whole mess, when churches chose to shut down or not, based on all that went on, you're fully aware of it, many people said, I miss church. We've talked about that here since 2020. And I've asked that question, what did you miss? And what are the answers?
People.
Nobody said, I missed the building. Nobody said, I missed the program. Programs. I miss the smiles. I miss the hugs. I miss the fellowship. I miss talking to somebody and seeing their whole face. It's the people. Look at Acts chapter 18, verse 22. This is an amazing book. We're going to be spending time in Acts, in 1 Timothy, in Titus, a little bit of time in 1 Peter, a little bit of time in 1 Thessalonians. All of these are going to add to this development of what is church. In Acts chapter 18, Paul had been journeying on, just pulling this one verse out of the history context, 22, and when he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church. Can you imagine Paul going up to a building and say, hi, church? Or stuffing some of our goofy ideas about what church is. What did he mean here? Obviously, it is the people. We're going to be spending time in chapter 19. We're going to be spending time in chapter 20 of Acts. And if you have the sit ability, we can do that today. But You're going to need to be here till about 3. Okay? And I'm not planning on forcing you to do that. What is church? What is my part as we church? In chapter 19, Paul goes to Ephesus. Verse 1, and it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Drop down to verse 8. He entered the synagogue. That's where the religious people were. That's where Jewish people were, his kinfolk. He entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them from their Old Testament, that's all they had, about the kingdom of God, God's kingdom work, God building. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of the tyrant. Quite literally. That's what his name, Tyrannus, means. The disciples couldn't any longer meet at the synagogue. Adversity was there. Problems were there. They came to this location. They didn't call the location church. They were there. And this took place for 2 years, verse 10, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord. It went to them and it went from them. 2 years in Ephesus at the school of Tyrannus. And the word of the Lord went to both Jews and Greeks. Go to verse 23. And about that time, there arose no small disturbance concerning the way. That's what it was now called. Not a denomination. These are ones claiming the way to God is through Jesus. The way. Okay. No small disturbance. That's a kind way of saying there was a problem developing. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made shrines, silver shrines of Artemis or Diana, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. Diana had fallen out of the sky, this goddess, and landed just outside of Ephesus, so the story goes. So they built a shrine to her that at the time would have been labeled one of the 7 wonders of the world. Quite the thing. Demetrius, he was selling less and less of his goodies. He was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. Verse 25, then he gathered together the workmen of similar trades, said, men, you know that our prosperity depends on this business. This religion was a business, not so much about the religion. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Just stop for a moment and think about what you just said, bub. Your hands just made a god. Okay. Huh. And not only is there danger that this trade of ours fall into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless, and that she, of whom all Asia and the world worship, little overstatement, should be even dethroned from her magnificence. When they heard this, they were filled with rage. They began crying out, saying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And the city was filled with confusion. And they rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. When Paul wanted to go into the assembly, the people that are gathered together, Greek word demos, the disciples would not let him. But also some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and repeatedly urged him not to venture into the theater. So then some were shouting one thing and some another for the, what word is in your Bible next?
Assembly.
The assembly, ecclesia. Go back to chapter 18, verse 22. And when he landed in Caesarea, he went up to and greeted the ecclesia, translated church, because there had been a cultural shift by the time Luke wrote this. Something was developing that started by the name, by the word of Jesus even, regarding ecclesia. Okay, back to chapter 19, verse 32. So some were shouting one thing, some another, for the ecclesia was in confusion. And the majority did not know for what cause they'd come together. There's mob rule. And some in the crowd concluded it was Alexander, since the Jews had put him forward. And having motioned with his hand, Alexander was intending to make a defense to the assembly, the people, the word demos. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, a single outcry arose from them all as they shouted for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" What a massive confusion this was. And after quieting the multitude, the town clerk said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there after all who does not know that the city of Ephesus is guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of the image which fell down from heaven? Since then these are undeniable facts, you ought to keep calm and do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of our goddess. So then if Demetrius and the craftsmen were with him have a complaint against any man, the courts are in session, the proconsuls are available. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in a lawful ecclesia. For indeed, we are in danger of being accused of a riot in connection with today's affair, since there is no real cause for it. And in this connection, we shall be unable to account for this disorderly gathering. After saying this, he dismissed the ecclesia. Why am I bringing this out? Did you get it yet? When the word church is used, meaning us, meaning what God is building, it is the word ecclesia. When a gathering came together as a riot, they also called that ecclesia, which describes some churches we know of, but that's a whole other topic. What is ecclesia? Definition: an assembly of people called out from their homes. Ek means out of. For a public meeting and common cause, for deliberation. Go back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." That's their conclusions. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven, the only one that can win a soul." My Father is in heaven has revealed this to you. Hallelujah. In 1975, early November, he revealed that to me. And I also say to you that you are Peter, little dinky rock. And upon this big rock, I will build my church, ecclesia. What's the point? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not stand against it, prevail against it, overcome it. It's translated a number of different ways. Definition of church, a called out group for a specific purpose. Coming together. That defines our local Lions Club. And that's not speaking against them. The Greek word to describe what they do is ecclesia. Fire department. You guys were involved with some gathering last weekend, right? Fire people. That was an ecclesia. Greek language. Jesus saying, "I will build my church." He's the builder of it. He's the owner of it. It is specified that it belongs to him. Now this ecclesia has a different, not just a general or generic something behind it, definition behind it. It is a called out group that come together because he is calling them to come together. And it is the word church. Now, there's a lot of religious organizations, some of those in our valley here, that have nothing to do with Jesus. But still, the name church is part of their title. Let them have it. The Greek word means, yeah, they're getting together for their whatever they're doing there. I'm not their judge. God is. But it's not my church, as Jesus called it, my ecclesia, that I am building. So I bring that foundationally at the beginning of this series to kind of stand on top of and start building the building blocks that we see in the New Testament. I don't want to throw rocks or be come across as if I am at any group out there in our Christian circles that are doing it differently than I would approve of. Some of them are doing it in such a way that God doesn't approve of, I am certain. My hope is that we can take the raw material from the scripture and see what God intended. Where are we today? What kind of adjustments do we need to make in order to be in line with I will build my church? Here's a thought. For the adventurous soul, like Dan and Beth Culver, to move into an area that had no church that belonged to Jesus, and start one from ground zero, I have great respect. And that's what began here in 1981. But where do you begin? By meeting with people. Finding or making disciples who will follow Jesus and be together doing that. And while you do so, just like Paul in Ephesus, not only is there antagonism from the community, but you've also got to deal with critics who want to tell you how to do it the right way. Of course, they never did it. But boy, will they stand stalwart in how you should be doing it. Remember, step one is not to find or develop a facility. It is developing people, some of which will become leaders so that the church is passed on to the next generation. How does that happen? That's what I want to talk about. But to start a church back in the early days, say 60 AD or so, with no resources except the gospel message about Jesus. No Bible in hand. There wasn't one. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. Access to the Old Testament only happened as you visited the synagogue to hear it read on a Saturday morning. You had no How to Grow a Church book available to you. For which what a church should be, should look like, you only had the word about Jesus. What do you do? And I've put this thought, daunting, but refreshing. I want to build on this idea for the purpose of looking, as I've already said, at the raw material about building and growing a church. And it is provided in our New Testament. And I hope that this will remind all of us about what we are to do and be regarding church right here in Tacoma, and then as we branch out, as we've done for all of these years. How many remember Dr. Dozo? Nagaland, India. Okay, 10 people maybe. I got an email from him yesterday that his daughter Abane died. Lung cancer, been fighting it for 2 years. Abane was here. Dr. Dozo came here multiple times, and we've been able to engage in ministry in Nagaland. Where in the world is that? Northeast India. Tough place. And we've been able to touch it. Tacoma Bible Church fingerprints are there. New Delhi, among the Rohingya refugees. Our fingerprints are there. Uganda. It's not about us. It's about I will build my church. Because from here, it reaches out. Unless the here is nearsighted and ingrown, dead or dying. His church is alive, and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. Let me have a little interaction. What thoughts are going on in your minds? Then I have one closing thought before our communion.
Yeah, it seems that the English language is limited here with this church word. According to the IRS code, you know, the Scientologists are a church. And you and I and everybody could start one. It's pretty neat. You get tax exempt status. You could live in a house for free.
Not anymore, but go ahead.
But et cetera, et cetera, right? There's a church and there's the church, this church. Now, the Catholics claim that they are it. But again, they're wrong. Sorry to say, I just don't think so. We hopefully are a good reflection of the church. But we can't claim to be the church either.
Right on. Anybody else?
I think part of the problem that jumps out at me is those ecclesia that don't call themselves a church, such as evolutionists, that, you know, that's a church, that's a faith.
It is.
That's a belief that they have. And that's the tough one to battle.
You look at some churches and you got to stand up, you got to kneel, you got to do all what you are doing rather than what is God doing to you.
And again, I don't want to throw rocks at anybody because they're doing it different. Because some of those, Jenny, may be worshiping God. He knows their heart. So I'm not comfortable doing it. And here's the reason I don't do some of that and why I do some of that. I want you to turn, just before we go into our communion time, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I would like this to be kind of our theme as we push through this. By the way, this topic excites me. I love teaching this topic, this subject. It is what I got to do when I went to India. It was a delightful time of training young people who are going into ministry about what God says as a church, because many of them, all they know is what they see on the internet, and there's a lot of poison. Just the raw material. What does God say? 1 Timothy chapter 3. That didn't look right. 2 Timothy didn't work. 1 Timothy 3, 14. I'm writing these things to you, Pastor Timothy in Ephesus. I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. Let me back up. The pillar and support of truth. That's God's design. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. It's all about Jesus. And so their early statement and saying, maybe they sang this every time they came together. I don't know. He who was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And the very next verse is about false teaching that's going to counter that. This is who we represent. This is what we are, or should be. And I want to do some clarifying as we move forward. I would like to take some preconceptions that are wrong and throw them away and come back to, God, what do you want? The delight about communion is that it is to be done not just individually, independently. I'm up in my kitchen and boy, I want to take communion right now. Nobody else is here. The point is, we are called together. And we proclaim his death until he comes. We are brought together by the blood of Jesus. His body was broken for us. I'm an individual, you're an individual, and we're part of the assembly on this spot, this little geographical location that we have called Tacoma Bible Church. Are we a church? We are a local church that's part of the church. And if you want to be part of this church, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you coming to worship him here? Then you're part of this church. Pretty basic. But it comes back down to him. It's not about a quaint little log building. It's not about a polished preacher. It's about Jesus. I hope. Otherwise, it's not about a church. Go ahead, Millie. Bruce and Mark, could you kindly join me back up here this morning? Cliff and Becky just got to watch their granddaughter be baptized, water baptized, at the Assemblies of God Church and made it back here, but they knew we wouldn't be done. So, you into helping us? Michael, would you join us up here, please? May I remind everybody here that what we're doing with this bread and with this juice that's in the trays is not just a religious ritual. It can be. Oh, that time of the month, we'll do the ritual again. Or it can be what it was designed to be, a reminder of who we are. Jesus died to rescue me. There's no other way I could be rescued. His blood was shed instead of my blood being shed for my own sin. He paid for it. And this is a time that we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We proclaim this, your death, to you, the living God, until you come. Gentlemen, let's go ahead and serve this. We'll thank the Lord for it when we get back. Bruce has three wafers without gluten. We extracted that early this morning. If you need a wafer that's gluten-free, let him know, please.